The Curious Case of Benjamin Button by F. Scott Fitzgerald.
One. As long ago as 1860, it was the proper thing to be born at home. At present, so I am told, the high gods of medicine have decreed that the first cries of the young shall be uttered upon the anesthetic air of a hospital, preferably a fashionable one. So young Mr. and Mrs. Roger Button were 50 years ahead of style when they decided, one day in the summer of 1860, that their first baby should be born in a hospital. Whether this anachronism had any bearing upon the astonishing history I am about to set down will never be known. I shall tell you what occurred, and let you judge for yourself. The Roger Buttons held an enviable position, both social and financial, in antebellum Baltimore. They were related to the This family and the That family, which, as every Southerner knew, entitled them to membership in that enormous peerage which largely populated the Confederacy. This was their first experience with the charming old custom of having babies. Mr. Button was naturally nervous. He hoped it would be a boy, so that he could be sent to Yale College in Connecticut, at which institution Mr. Button himself had been known for 4 years by the somewhat obvious nickname of Cuff. On the September morning consecrated to the enormous event, he arose nervously at 6 o'clock, dressed himself, adjusted an impeccable stock, and hurried forth through the streets of Baltimore to the hospital to determine whether the darkness of the night had borne in new life upon its bosom. When he was approximately 100 yards from the Maryland Private Hospital for Ladies and Gentlemen, he saw Dr. Keene, the family physician, descending the front steps, rubbing his hands together with a washing movement, as all doctors are required to do by the unwritten ethics of their profession. Mr. Roger Button, the president of Roger Button and Company Wholesale Hardware, began to run toward Dr. Keene with much less dignity than was expected from a southern gentleman of that picturesque period. "Dr. Keene!" he called. "Oh, Dr. Keene!" The doctor heard him, faced around, and stood waiting, a curious expression settling on his harsh, medicinal face as Mr. Button drew near. "What happened?" demanded Mr. Button, as he came up in a gasping rush. "What was it? How is she? A boy? Who is it? What—"
"Talk sense,"
said Dr. Keene sharply. He appeared somewhat irritated. "Is the child born?" begged Mr. Button. Dr. Keene frowned.
"Why, yes, I suppose so. After a fashion."
Again he threw a curious glance at Mr. Button. "Is my wife all right?"
"Yes."
"Is it a boy or a girl?"
"Here now,"
cried Dr. Keene in a perfect passion of irritation.
"I'll ask you to go and see for yourself. Outrageous!"
He snapped the last word out in almost one syllable. Then he turned away, muttering,
"Do you imagine a case like this will help my professional reputation? One more would ruin me, ruin anybody."
"What's the matter?" demanded Mr. Button, appalled. "Triplets?"
"No, not triplets," answered the doctor cuttingly. "What's more, you can go see for yourself, and get another doctor. I brought you into the world, young man, and I've been physician to your family for 40 years. But I'm through with you. I don't want to see you or any of your relatives ever again. Goodbye."
Then he turned sharply, and without another word climbed into his phaeton, which was waiting at the curbstone, and drove severely away. Mr. Button stood there upon the sidewalk, stupefied and trembling from head to foot. What a horrible mishap had occurred. He had suddenly lost all desire to go into the Maryland Private Hospital for Ladies and Gentlemen. It was with the greatest difficulty that, a moment later, he forced himself to mount the steps and enter the front door. A nurse was sitting behind a desk in the opaque gloom of the hall. Swallowing his shame, Mr. Button approached her.
"Good morning,"
she remarked, looking up at him pleasantly.
"Good morning.